have a bit of an introduction and I need my notes. Sorry to delay. In this passage, Peter speaks to a crowd of Jews 50 days after the resurrection. The crowd had come to Jerusalem from many different countries to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They spoke many different languages, but each heard Peter and the disciples speaking in their own tongue. They couldn't figure out how this could be. Some even accused the disciples of being drunk. To answer their questions, Peter quotes the Old Testament prophet Joel and then goes on to preach a powerful sermon that resulted in the conversion of 3,000 people that day. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
And gets up with the rest of our dreams. Dream big, pray hard, and think long. So it's an annual happening, this stewardship, every year. And we really are called to stewardship every day, managing what God has given to us. But during this promotion, we take a look at how we are giving back to God with our time, energy, and dollars. God's love is abundant, and I believe it is important to give God the glory for what we have at UMCTO. During these three Sundays of Stewardship Focus, we will hear some of your stories that answer the question, how has UMCTO changed your life? In fact, there's one today during just before our offering time. So, how has it changed? One way that my life was changed from doing something here at this church through God's wisdom, I guess, was studying the book The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. Thus, the theme, dream big, pray hard, think long. In the class, we shared what our big dreams were. Mine was that God will fill our worship services to overflowing every Sunday in both services with people who want to have a relationship with God. If you want that dream too, all you have to do is talk to God about it. I heard in class, though, that not only do we have to pray like it depends on God, we also need to work like it depends on us. Oh. So I asked the church council and our pastor how I could help. It wasn't too long after that that I was asked to serve as stewardship chair. But I had to say I would. And it's been an exciting ride. It really is. And I said in the letter you hopefully all received this week, you can't never always sometimes tell. Did you have to read that a couple times to figure it out? In other words, anything can happen, and it has. So the main focus of this book is talking to God in prayer, and the author suggests three aspects: dream big, pray hard, and think long. And today's focus is dream big. The author tells the story of Honi, this legend that is found in the Jewish Talmud, and it is a witness to all believers. Honi was a scholar who lived near Jerusalem in the first century B.C., just a few generations before Jesus Christ was born. And the land was in a severe drought. And even though the people did not believe that God listened to them anymore, they knew that Honi did believe that God listened. So the people asked Honi to pray to God for rain. Honi was very specific in how he approached the prayer. He drew a circle in the sand, knelt humbly inside the circle, and prayed for God's blessing of rain for the parched land. And God sent rain. Three different versions, but he sent rain. So my question was, why the circle? Perhaps it helped him focus or draw serious intent to his prayer. It's a prayer posture that sets our mood, our sincerity, the importance, and the urgency of that prayer. Some of the youth this morning read the legend of Honi today to children in the classrooms. They heard about dreaming big and how Honi prayed hard. So dream big, like praying for rain was a big dream. So I want to challenge you this week to dream big for our church. Our God is amazing, and with God, all things are possible. And then pray daily about your big dreams. Would you do that every morning this week? There are only 6 days between now and next Sunday. First thing in the morning could be a good time to pray. Kind of sets the mood for the day. And I do it then because I remember, because I get busy the rest of the day. And we're going to help you with that a little bit. You should all have received a scratch pad that has dream big, pray hard, and think long at the top. This is for you to write your dreams on and drop them in the circle boxes that we have provided. There's one in the Narthex Sanctuary entrance there. They look like this. They're all different sizes. Drop your dreams that you've written down in these boxes. I will read them. I will pray over them. I will give them to our church council. And I know that God is the one who decides what happens to those dreams. Some may get answered right away. Some may be put on the back burner. Some may get changed. Oh, yeah, we like that dream. Yeah, God, but God has a slightly different plan. That's okay. Put your big dreams in here, and we'll see where they take us in this church. There were already a couple in there from the first service. That's a good thing. If you have a prayer journal or a notebook, sure, write your dreams in there, but bring them to church if you can, and just drop them in those circle boxes. If you don't have a dream right now, ask God to show you one. Latch on to somebody else's dream. Ask each other, what's your dream? And pray with them. Next week, we're going to be talking about the pray hard. So this week, start dreaming, or keep dreaming, and happy dreaming. And at this point, Pastor John is going to finish this message about dreams and big dreams. Pastor John?
Thank you, Phyllis. And let's continue to support Phyllis with our prayers and also with a round of applause this morning as she leads us during the stewardship season. Thank you, Phyllis. You know, when Phyllis graciously accepted the call to lead our stewardship campaign this year, she said that, "Pastor John, I would do it under only one condition, and that is if she could use the themes from that book, The Circle Maker." Well, of course, she didn't say that literally, but she was gracefully implying that she would really like to use that wonderful theme from that book: dream big, pray hard, and think long. And of course, that story of the legend, Honi, that book really inspired Phyllis, as you can tell, and others who were in that study group a few months ago. In fact, I myself is being inspired as I go through that book and the themes. I really like what I am reading and what I am seeing in that book that I think will apply really well to our stewardship season. But again, as Phyllis had mentioned, stewardship is every day, right? I mean, what can go wrong with dream big, pray hard, and think long? And besides, you know, this might be the first stewardship message where I may not even have to talk about money. And I know you would like that, right? Well, not quite, but again, dream big, pray hard, think long. All three themes actually go together hand in hand. None can stand by itself. But today we're going to focus on dreams. Not just any dreams, but big dreams. But will you join me in a prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together this morning, along with our dreams, be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer and the one who gives us the dreams. And we ask all these things through your Son, the risen Christ, and for his sake. Amen. So dreams. We're talking about dreams this morning. Do you have dreams? Have you dreamt something big, something essential and ambitious that you're passionate about to the fulfillment of your individual lives and to the fulfillment of really what the world needs? I don't need to tell you that America, this country, is built on dreams. We live in a country that is built by people with dreams. Again, not just any dreams, but big dreams. The greatness of our country is really to allow people who have big dreams to come and make a difference for our country and really for our world. You know, when my parents decided to come to this country in the early 70s, they did so with dreams of planting a Korean Methodist church in Detroit, Michigan. They had a Korean Presbyterian church in Detroit, but not Methodist church. So they had a dream to come and plant a Methodist church for early Korean immigrants, and also to give better life for us, the children. And constantly, I remember my dad in the pulpit challenging the immigrants and all of us, the children, to have dreams, and not only to have dreams, but use those dreams to make a difference in the new land that they now find themselves in. And you know, in many ways, their dreams were fulfilled. Starting from just seven families in a home when they first started the church in the 70s. to 2,000 member church when my dad finally retired after 24 years, talking about dreams for these people. And many have accomplished their dreams, and many are now passing on the dreams to those who can dream even more. In fact, Diane Wiley was here this morning at 9 o'clock service, and when I saw her, when I immediately thought of her brother, Dr. David McAllister Wilson, is the president of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C., probably one of the largest Methodist seminary. And back in December, as I was browsing through my dad's home church website, I saw him on the sermon series one Sunday. He was there to speak to the Korean United Methodist Church in Detroit, Michigan, to thank them for their support for his seminary in Washington, D.C. Apparently, my dad's home church is one of the biggest supporters of that Wesley Theological Seminary. And so he was there sharing the message and thanking them. So dreams that they had are not being passed on to those seminary and students so they can dream, so they can talk about more dreams for God's kingdom. Now, I must admit, however, that it's been a while since I preached a sermon on dreams, let alone have big dreams myself. So maybe it's a good time for me to dream again with you and for our church. I remember a while back when I was leading a Bible study at previous church, topic was on dreams. And I asked the group about their dreams. And I remember one person who said, "You know, Pastor, I have never dreamt." And I said, "Well, why not?" And she said, "Because I am always busy. I am just too busy to dream, Pastor." And another person said, "You know, I used to dream, but I don't dream anymore because of disappointed dreams, the hurts, the frustrations experienced along the way in the pursuit of dreams." In fact, I remember when I first came to America as a teenager, barely speaking English, but I had a dream when I made the high school baseball team, and that was to become a major league baseball player someday. But that was short-lived, which is why I'm here today. I didn't have what it takes to be a major league baseball. I could pitch pretty well, but I just could not hit that slider. I mean, it just... So I know what it means to have disappointed dreams and giving up on the idea of big dreams. There are disappointments, and maybe you have stopped dreaming too because of that. We all have been there with dreams. And yes, now there is the fact that many of us are not getting any younger. We are all getting older. In fact, it has been proven by neurologist that as we age, the center of cognitive gravity tends to shift from our right imaginative brain to the logical left brain. And this neurological tendency, according to Mark Batterson in the book, presents a spiritual danger. And at some point, most of us stop living out of imagination and start living out of memory. And that is, instead of creating the future, we start repeating the past. Instead of living by faith and dreams, we live by simply the logic and hard information. In the book, Mark Batterson talks about a woman named Harriet Door. Perhaps you remember her name, who dreamed of going to college in a day and age when university campuses were mainly filled with men. Marriage, family, and the children kept her from going to college. But the dream, her dream never died. Half century later, Harriet earned her bachelor's degree from Stanford University at the age of 67. And while most of her likes and friends were, you know, talking about retiring and the retirements, Harriet was just getting started. And not only that, she also dreamed of writing a book. Her first novel, Stones for Ibarra, was published when Harriet was 74 years young. And so you might ask, well, so who is right then? The neurologist or Harriet? Or maybe they both are right. They both have points. That is, we can dream again even though our imagination ability tends to decline. Why? Because we have God. God is on our side, and we now have more faith, don't we? That's one of the things. As we get older, the more faith that we should have because of our experiences of knowing God's faithfulness in our journey. And with that faith in God's faithfulness, we can begin to dream again, the big dreams. We can enlarge our dreams. You know, Henry Ford is credited for saying this quote. He said, "A poor person is not the one without a cent. A poor person is the one without a dream." And so if you stop dreaming because of disappointed dreams, the hurts, the failures, failed marriages and work and career, or whatever the reason, start dreaming again. Wipe the dust off of old dreams and start dreaming again. Keep your dreams alive for yourself, for your families, for your children, for your career and your business. Because that's what people of faith do. Now, the text that I have chosen from the second chapter of Acts that Lois gave us a good introduction. Now, you might ask, why in the world are you preaching a text that is usually reserved for the Pentecost Sunday, Pastor John? Because, you know, let's face it, Pentecost isn't here yet. We're not there yet. But that's not important. What's important is that we remember that scene, that when Peter gets up and explains the situation of that craziness of that day. The followers of Jesus are not drunk, Peter says, but all fired up and making this commotion because the Holy Spirit has come upon them, Peter says. And this is what Jesus has promised. And the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy from Prophet Joel, that when the Spirit is poured out, the people will dream dreams and see visions and become empowered to serve God in the world. Again, let me just read you that verse. God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, meaning all people. God pours His Spirit upon all people. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young people shall see visions, and your old people, that's all of us, shall dream dreams. God is pouring out His Spirit on all of us, young and old, to dream dreams. You see what's happening here? God is the one who is pouring upon His Spirit. In other words, the dreams is a gift from God. God instilled in us this power to imagine and to dream. But the question, of course, is, what are you doing with that gift? You see, our faith is only a dead and a distant memory of something that happened long ago if it does not fill you with dreams and visions of what you can do now and for the future, or what role you can play in God's mission field that was born on Easter Sunday. In fact, do you remember the time when you were filled with God's Spirit? I'm sure you know. You remember that moment when you were just filled with the Holy Spirit, that you could not contain yourself, dreaming dreams of how you can serve God and for His church. And that's all good, serving God. Dreaming dreams about serving the Lord is always a good thing. Now, we do need to, however, become more wiser or smarter about how best to make those dreams come true. In other words, there is always a process, isn't there? And make sure that those dreams are not just some fantasy. And of course, remember, there are obstacles and challenges along the way in pursuit of those dreams. In fact, I'm thinking of Joseph, the dreamer in the Old Testament. Remember, young Joseph was a dreamer. In fact, he had big dreams. And his own brothers hated him for that. They hated him because of his dreams. And they became jealous of him, eventually getting rid of him by selling him to Egypt. And even in Egypt, Joseph continued to run into many more obstacles and challenges, but yet he kept dreaming. There are challenges and obstacles, but here's the thing. There may be challenges and obstacles in our dreams, but they can't take away the energy, the passion, and the life that you get when you dream big dreams. They just can't take away that passion and energy, especially when we have encountered the risen Christ. It results in birth of dreams and visions of how we can better serve God's purpose. And it's not only for individuals, but churches too. The story of Pentecost tells us that the sign of healthy church that is alive with the Spirit is that it is always dreaming dreams about what more can be done to share the risen Christ with the world. Unfortunately, not all churches are alive, as we all know. I heard this expression. I think they were speaking of another church. It says, some are deader than a doornail. I learned that expression. They're still certainly not talking about our church. But again, I think sometimes we do need to ask ourselves, how do you know that a church is dead? Again, what Mark Batterson is saying is when it doesn't dream anymore, when it has lost its vision for what it's going to do next, there is nothing more dead than a church that thinks it has arrived. Pews are comfortable now. What kind of church are we, or do we want to be? Have we arrived? Have we completed the mission that God sent us out to do? Have we exhausted all the possibilities of sharing Christ with others? Have we reached all the people we can reach? Have we done all the good we can, as John Wesley said? Have we loved all the neighbors we can love and told all the people we can tell about the love of Jesus Christ? And so as we begin yet another stewardship season, let's ask ourselves, what old dreams can we recapture? And I'm sure when you think about the old dreams, you are thinking of the dreams that you had when you built this beautiful sanctuary. Am I not right? How can we recapture that spirit and pray about how we can use that spirit to dream new dreams and imagine a church that seeks out to live out our faith and make our faith real? What kind of church do we want to become? And what kind of Christians do you and I want to become? What dreams has God planted in your heart? You know, in 9 o'clock service, I skipped over this wonderful story, but I'm going to share this little story that that many of you, I'm sure, read. Remember when Chicken Soup for the Soul first came out? It was like 25 years ago. It's the story by Jack Canfield, one of the authors of that book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Jack Canfield shares this story. He writes, "I have a friend named Monty Roberts who owns a horse ranch in San Ysidro. He has let me use his house to put on fundraising events to raise money for youth at risk programs. The last time I was there, he introduced me to the group by saying, 'I want to tell you why I let Jack use my house and ranch.' It all goes back to a story about a young man who was the son of an itinerant horse trainer who would go from stable to stable, racetrack to racetrack, farm to farm, and ranch to ranch, training horses. As a result, the boy's high school career was continually interrupted. When he was a senior, he was asked to write a paper about what he wanted to be and do when he grew up. That night, he wrote a 7-page paper describing his goal of someday owning a horse ranch. He wrote about his dream in great detail, and he even drew a diagram of a 200-acre ranch showing the location of all the buildings, the stables, and the track. Then he drew a detailed floor plan for a 4,000-square-foot house that would sit on the 200-acre dream ranch. He put a great deal of his heart into the project, and the next day he handed it to his teacher. Well, 2 days later, he received his paper back, and on the front page was a large red mark that says F, with a note that read, 'See me after class.' Well, the boy with the dream went to see the teacher after class and asked, 'Well, why did I receive an F?' And the teacher said, 'You know, this is an unrealistic dream for a young boy like you. You have no money, you come from an itinerant family, you have no resources. Owning a horse ranch requires a lot of money. And you have to buy the land, you have to pay for the original breeding stock, and later you'll have to pay large fees or stud fees. There's no way you could ever do it.' And then the teacher added, 'If you will rewrite this paper with more realistic goal, I will reconsider your grade.' Well, the boy went home and thought about it long and hard, and he even asked his father what he should do. And his father said, 'Look, son, you really have to make up your mind, on your own mind on this. However, I think it is a very important decision for you.' And finally, after sitting with it for a week, the boy turned in the same paper, making no change at all. And he stated, 'With all respect, you can keep the F, and I will keep my dreams.' Well, Monty then, the story goes, turned to the assembled group that day and said, 'Well, I tell you this story because you are sitting in my 4,000-square-foot house in the middle of my 200-acre horse range. I still have that school paper framed over the fireplace over there.' And he added, 'The best part of the story is that 2 summers ago, that same school teacher brought 30 kids to camp out in my ranch for a week. When the teacher was leaving, he said, 'Look, Monty, I can tell you this now. When I was your teacher, I was something of a dream stealer. During those years, I stole a lot of kids' dreams. Fortunately, you had enough guts not to give up on yours. Don't let anyone steal your dreams. Follow your heart, no matter what. And you know, we're all here because God poured out His Spirit upon John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, who said on June 11th of 1739, "The world is my parish." He had a dream, big dream. And of course, almost 300 years later, looking at hundreds of thousands of Methodist churches around the world, millions of Methodists around the world having dreams so that they can make a difference. "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh," so that young people can see visions and the old people will dream dreams. And that's what God promises for all of us. And the question, of course, is what more can we do with those dreams during our 2018 and 19 season? As Phyllis mentioned earlier, you know, that scratchy paper or sticky notes, write down your dreams, put it on your refrigerators. And of course, next week we're going to talk about praying hard, because you know, we need to back up our dreams with more than just dreams. We need to pray hard, and we need to think about how we can serve God. In other words, a lot of hard work goes into our dreams. But let me just close with this short quote from Mark Batterson, because what he wrote on that page got my attention. And there's the quote. He writes, "Our date of death is not the date etched on our tombstones. The day we stop dreaming is the day we start dying. When imagination is sacrificed on the altar of logic, God is robbed of the glory that rightfully belongs to Him. In fact, the death of a dream is often a subtle form of idolatry. We lose faith in the God who gave us the big dream and settle for a small dream that we can accomplish without His help. We go after dreams that don't require divine intervention. We go after dreams that don't require our prayers. And the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all of our right brain can imagine is supplanted by a God, God with lowercase g, who fits within the logical constraints of our left brain. The day we stop dreaming, we all die. So draw your circles next few weeks and dream. Dream big, pray hard, and think long about how you can make your dreams come true.